The three werewolves started chittering again, first in what seemed like a random way, but then together, and to a beat. The one with a spear began thumping it into the ground in time, and the three of them started working off the beat, playing against each other's voices for what was clearly a victory chant of some sort or another. The fourth werewolf started gesturing more frantically. I had a terrible fear of what was going to happen at the end of the chant. They kept singing, getting closer to the end of that chant. So I did what I had to do. I sang back. I opened my mouth, and the first line of Delhi Morning came out of it. Not well, and not on key. Actually, it was really bad. All those months of practicing it and playing it at Hootenanny's were not paying off. It didn't matter. It was doing what I needed it to do. The werewolves immediately fell silent. I kept singing. I glanced over to Gretchen, who was not so far away that I couldn't read the "Are you completely insane?" look that she had on her face. I gave her a look that said, "Help me out, please." Her face tightened up into something unreadable, and she sighted down her rifle to keep one of the werewolves squarely in target, and started to sing the counterpoint of the song, dipping above and below my part, like we had practiced so many times. With her help, I found the right key to sing and homed in. And now the werewolves knew there was more than one of us. To the left of Gretchen, Dickory chimed in, mimicking the sitar of the song as he did so well. It was funny to watch, but when you closed your eyes, it was hard to tell the difference between it and the real thing. I drank in the twang of his voice and kept singing. And to the left of Dickory, Hickory finally came in, using its long neck to sound off like a drum, finding the beat and keeping it from then on. And now the werewolves knew there were as many of us as them, and that we could have killed them any time. But we didn't. My stupid plan was working. Now all I had to do was figure what I had planned to do next, because I really didn't know what I was doing here. All I knew was that I didn't want to shoot my werewolf. The one, in fact, who had now stepped off entirely away from the rest of his pack and was walking toward where he thought my voice was coming from. I decided to meet him halfway. I set down my rifle and stepped into the clearing, still singing. The werewolf with the spear began to raise it, and suddenly my mouth was very dry. I think my werewolf noticed something on my face, because it turned and chattered madly at the spear carrier. The spear went down. My werewolf didn't know it, but he'd just saved his friend a bullet in the head from Gretchen. My werewolf turned back to me and started walking toward me again. I kept singing until the song was through. By that time, my werewolf was standing right next to me. Our song was finished. I stood there, waiting to see what my werewolf would do next. What he did was point to my neck, to the jade elephant pendant Jane had given me. I touched it. "Elephant," I said, "like your fanties." He stared at it again and then stared at me again. Finally, it chirped out something. "Hello," I said back. What else was I going to say? We had a couple more minutes of sizing each other up. Then one of the three other werewolves chirped something. He chirped something back, and then tilted his head at me, as if to say, "It would really help me if you actually did something here." So I pointed to Enzo and Magdi. "Those two belong to me," I said, making what I hoped were appropriate hand signals, so my werewolf would get the idea. "I want to take them back with me," I motioned back in the direction of the colony. "Then we'll leave you alone." The werewolf watched all my hand signals. I'm not sure how many of them he actually got. But when I was done, he pointed to Enzo and Magdi, then to me, and then in the direction of the colony, as if to say, "Let me make sure I've got this right." I nodded, said yes, and then repeated all the hand signals again. We were actually having a conversation. Or maybe we weren't, because what followed was an explosion of chittering from my werewolf, along with some wild gesticulating. I tried to follow it, but I had no idea what was going on. I looked at him helplessly, trying to get what he was saying. Finally, he figured out I had no clue what he was doing. So he pointed at Magdi, and then pointed at the rifle one of the other werewolves was holding. And then he pointed at his side, and then motioned at me as if to take a closer look. Against my better judgment, I did, and noticed something I missed before. My werewolf was injured. An ugly furrow was carved into his side and surrounded by raw welts on either side. That idiot Magdi had shot my werewolf. Barely, sure. Magdi was lucky that his aim continued to be bad, otherwise he'd probably already be dead. But even grazing it was bad enough. I backed up from the werewolf and let him know I'd seen enough. He pointed at Enzo, pointed at me, and pointed back to the colony. Then he pointed at Magdi and pointed at his werewolf friends. This was clear enough. He was saying Enzo was free to go with me, but his friends wanted to keep Magdi. I didn't doubt that would end badly for Magdi. I shook my head and made it clear I needed the both of them. My werewolf made it equally clear they wanted Magdi. Our negotiations had just hit a really big snag. I looked my werewolf up and down. He was stocky, barely taller than me, and covered only in a sort of short skirt cinched up with a belt. A simple stone knife hung from the belt. I'd seen pictures of knives like it from history books detailing the Cro-Magnon days back on Earth. The funny thing about the Cro-Magnons was that despite the fact that they were barely above banging rocks together, their brains were actually larger than our brains are now. They were cavemen, but they weren't stupid. They had the ability to think about serious stuff. "I sure hope you have a Cro-Magnon brain," I said to my werewolf. "Otherwise, I'm about to get in trouble." He tilted his head again, trying to figure out what I was trying to say to him. I motioned again, trying to make it clear I wanted to talk to Magdi. My werewolf didn't seem happy about this, and chattered something to his friends. They chattered back and got pretty agitated, but in the end, my werewolf reached out to me. I let him take my wrist, and he dragged me over to Magdi. His three friends fanned themselves out behind me, ready if I should try anything stupid. I knew outside the clearing, Hickory and Dickory, at least, would be moving to get better sight lines. There were still lots of ways this could go very, very wrong. Magdi was still kneeling, not looking at me or anything else but a spot on the ground. "Magdi," I said. "Kill these stupid things and get us out of here already," he said, quietly and fast, still not looking at me. "I know you know how. I know you have enough people out there to do it." "Magdi," I said again, "listen to me carefully and don't interrupt me. These things want to kill you. They're willing to let Enzo go, but they want to keep you because you shot one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" "Just kill them," Magdi said. "No," I said. "You went after these guys, Magdi. You were hunting them. You shot at them. I'm going to try to keep you from getting killed, but I'm not going to kill them because you put yourself in their way. Not unless I have to. Do you understand me?" "They're going to kill us," Magdi said. "You and me and Enzo." "I don't think so," I said. "But if you don't shut up and actually listen to what I'm trying to say to you, you're going to make that more likely." "Just shoot," Magdi began. "For God's sake, Magdi," Enzo said suddenly from Magdi's side. "One person on the entire planet is risking her own neck for you, and all you can do is argue with her. You really are an ungrateful piece of crap. Now would you please shut up and listen to her? I'd like to get out of this alive." I don't know who was more surprised by that outburst, me or Magdi. "Fine," Magdi said after a minute. "These things want to kill you because you shot one of them," I said. "I'm going to try to convince them to let you go, but you're going to have to trust me and follow my lead and not argue and not fight back. For the last time, do you understand me?" "Yes," Magdi said. "Okay," I said. "They think I'm your leader, so I need to give them the idea I'm angry with you for what you did. I'm going to have to punish you in front of them. And just so you know, this is going to hurt. A lot." "Just," Magdi began. "Magdi," I said. Yeah, all right, whatever, Magdi said. Let's just do this. Okay, I said. Sorry about this. Then I kicked him in the ribs, hard. He collapsed with a whoosh and fell flat to the ground. Whatever he was expecting, he wasn't expecting that. After he had gasped on the ground for a minute, I grabbed him by the hair. He clutched at my hand and tried to get away. Don't fight me, I said, and gave him a quick punch in the ribs to make the point. He got it and stopped. I pulled his head back and yelled at him for shooting the werewolf, pointing at his rifle and then the wounded werewolf and back and forth several times to make the point. The werewolves seemed to make the connection and chittered among themselves about it. Apologize, I told Magdi, still holding his head. Magdi reached out to the wounded werewolf. I'm sorry, he said. If I had known that shooting would mean Zoe got to beat the crap out of me, I never would have done it. Thanks, I said, and then let go of his hair and smacked him hard across the face. Magdi went down again. I looked over to the werewolf to see if this was sufficient. He didn't look like he was quite there yet. I loomed over Magdi. How are you doing? I asked. I think I'm going to throw up, he said. Good, I said. I think that would work. Need any help?
I got it,
he said, and retched all over the ground. This got impressed chirps from the werewolves. Okay, I said. Last part, Magdi. You really have to trust me on this one.
Please stop hurting me now, Magdi said.
Almost done, I said. Stand up, please.
I don't think I can, he said.
Sure you can, I said, and wrenched his arm to give him motivation. Magdi inhaled and stood up. I marched him over to my werewolf, who eyed the both of us curiously. I pointed at Magdi and then to the werewolf's wound. Then I pointed to the werewolf and made a slashing motion on Magdi's side and then pointed at the werewolf's knife. The werewolf gave me yet another head tilt, as if to say, I want to be sure we understand each other here. Fair's fair, I said.
You're going to let him stab me?
Magdi said, his voice rising dramatically at the end of that sentence. You shot him, I said.
He could kill me, Magdi said.
You could have killed him, I said.
I hate you, Magdi said. I really, really, really hate you now.
Shut up, I said, and then nodded to the werewolf. Trust me, I said to Magdi. The werewolf drew his knife and then looked back at his companions, who were all chattering loudly and beginning to chant what they were chanting earlier. I was all right with that. The difference now was that it was my werewolf who would do whatever violence would be done.